Welcome to the Daily Slant, powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings.com. I'm your host, Josh Hayes, joined as always by Renee Miller. You can find Renee Miller's work over at ProFootballFocus.com along with ESPN and RotoWorld. And you can follow her on Twitter at Renee Miller01. And you can also follow me on Twitter at JoshHayesFS. Renee, welcome to week 13.
Welcome.
So apologies to everybody last week who missed me. I did have my daughter who was born the day that we were supposed to do the show. So sorry about that for everybody. But we're back on track here. And thanks to everybody who sent well wishes to me on Twitter, including you, Renee. I definitely appreciated that. And we're going to dive right in here to week 13 picks. But before we do that, we got to let you know that football is in full swing and we're heading down the stretch. And it already feels like the playoffs here, thanks to One Week Fantasy at DraftKings.com. With millions being won each week, every play in every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings.com. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. Enter PFF for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, we're going to waste no time here, Renee. Get right up at the top at the quarterback position. Let's talk top cash and GPP options.
For cash games, I'm looking at Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger by and large. That's kind of my favorite place to be for cash games, kind of mid to upper tier. Guys there both have really good matchups. Ben Roethlisberger at home with all three of his receivers healthy. Could have one of those five or six touchdown games that he's famous for. I think he's got a great chance of breaking the 300-yard threshold for the bonus this week. And Cam Newton, for obvious reasons. I mean, New Orleans gives up a touchdown every time you turn around. I think they're leading the league in that category. And unbeaten Panthers are winning on both ends of the ball. So he's a really safe play in any format, too.
Yeah, I'm with you on those two plays, and I'm going to throw Tom Brady in the mix for me as well. I know people are somewhat off of him with Gronk being out, but I still think Scott Chandler is actually a pretty viable option, and we're going to talk about him and how much exposure we should have to him given his bargain basement price tag, particularly on DraftKings. But if Danny Amendola rejoins the lineup like I think he's going to, and Bleacher Report's Jason Cole reported that he was actually close to being activated and then they got ruled out last week during the Saturday walkthrough, I think he also makes a lot of sense. You are definitely paying top dollar. You got to pay 600 more than Cam, so that part's less attractive. But we saw what Philly did, give up 90 points over the past 2 weeks and making Jameis Winston and Matthew Stafford look like Hall of Famers with five touchdowns apiece over those past two games. So there's just so much of a mess right now, the Philadelphia defense, that I really feel like you can still use Tom Brady if you're willing to pay up. Price is probably going to come down to the question. Now, so aside from those top-level options here, how far down are you willing to slide at the quarterback position for GPPs?
I mean, you can go all the way down. I really like Ryan Tannehill a lot this week. He gets the Ravens. But you can spend even a couple hundred dollars less on Matt Schaub and get almost as good of a matchup. The Dolphins haven't been really effective in stopping the pass so far this year. So he's a fine min salary play. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick in the Giants game. The Giants also are one of the top passing defenses that I like to target. And Fitzpatrick, he's just doing it every single week. The thumb doesn't seem to be bothering him. He's got Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker at his disposal, and they've done it in far worse matchups. So I think they're a good tournament stack too.
All right, for me, I want to get some exposure to Ryan Tannehill as well. I know that people have been sort of like disappointed and they thought that he was going to be on the fringe of a top five wide receiver, and he really hasn't been that. But this week against Baltimore, I've talked about on various outlets throughout the week how good of a matchup this is against Baltimore. We saw the Josh McCown / Austin Davis experience combined for almost 300 yards and two scores, so I really feel like that's the floor probably for him. Jarvis Landry has been an absolute target monster. Still have Lamar Miller out of the backfield. backfield, and I'm encouraged by the fact that they also have Devontae Parker finally getting into the mix and becoming a fantasy factor like they hoped he would when they drafted him 13th overall. So that's where I'm probably going to draw the line there. I wonder if Matt Ryan ends up bouncing back, and it's a very great price. It's 6,700 against Tampa Bay. But I'm actually thinking this might game flow into the running back position here, and Devontae Freeman at $8,000, who's the top price option and the top projected running back on Pro Football Focus, according to the Fantasy Labs DFS Optimizer. Question here to start off the running back position is, do you spend up here, or do we need to stay sort of in the value town territory with what you want to do for your DFS lineups?
I think actually that it the game profiles is a lot better passing matchup than running matchup. Teams have had a tough time running on Tampa Bay, and of course Devontae Freeman is excellent runner, and sometimes I will argue for talent trumping matchup, plenty of the time. But this week I'm not interested in paying up at running back. There are so many wide receivers, top tier talent and price wide receivers that have great matchups, that I'm spending most of my salary cap at that position and taking advantage of some of the running back value. So I'll have very little Devontae Freeman. I'm sure other people feel the same way, and that's going to make him very low owned. So if he does go off, you know, you could be in a really good spot to move up in a tournament.
Okay, so the way I'm looking at this here is I actually just built one of my lineups for DFS this weekend, and I ended up rolling in so much value with some of the guys that I had that I ended up like throwing Devontae Freeman into a flex. So that's sort of, I think, where you might need to be careful, because there's so many bargain basement running back values, and then you throw in Danny Amendola, and then you throw in Scott Chandler at tight end if you're going to use those all in one lineup, I was like left with $1,400 left over. And I was like, geez, maybe I'm just stuck too much in value 10 and I need to reevaluate how I'm approaching this. So that's the question that I have. Maybe you are going to end up affording Devontae Freeman. But having said that, there's some great running back options in the cheap territory. Obviously, David Johnson's going to have a ton of exposure. I think we saw something in the range of like 18 or 22% exposure for him, according to the DFS report for the Thursday GPPs. I expect that to be, what do you think, 25-ish? Percent for Dave Johnson or more?
Yeah, I think it's going to go up after there were some reports today. You know, earlier in the week they were saying maybe 15 touches for him. Now Arian said 25. So I think that, you know, as more positive reports come out of Arizona, his ownership is going to go up even further than it already is. I'm surprised it was this low in the Thursday GPPs. I haven't seen those numbers.
Yeah, so that's one of the issues that you have. You save so much money with a guy like David Johnson, and then you have to sort of decide where's the best place to apply that cost savings there as well. So are you interested in a guy like D'Angelo Williams, who has a plus matchup, or maybe LeSean McCoy, who's been super consistent, by the way, for the last couple of weeks, has the number two projection on Pro Football Focus for Fantasy Labs there as well? Or do you want to still sort of hang there in the middle with some of these cheaper options and good matchups like Jonathan Stewart and Jeremy Hill, and then apply the cost savings to wide receiver? What's your approach?
Yeah, I want to save as much as I can at running back. I love D'Angelo Williams. I think that Stewart and Hill are both fairly priced. I mean, to me, when you're below 55, 5600, that's pretty cheap. So those guys are totally viable plays. I like the Denver backs. I think CJ Anderson for cash games, Ronnie Hillman for tournaments. The price difference between these two is kind of interesting. Anderson is more expensive on FanDuel, but Hillman is $1,000 more on DraftKings, which is kind of surprising. They're both going to get their shot. San Diego's the worst run defense in the league. They could both exceed value, just kind of a matter of where you want to go. I think Denver would be wise to ride both of these guys really heavily this weekend.
Yeah, and I think this sets up pretty well for Brock Osweiler, too, to not have to worry about being behind or worry about the snow and, trying to keep pace with somebody like Tom Brady or something like that. We know that the San Diego defense has struggled mightily, and they've been they feel like they're behind every game. I feel like Philip Rivers is destined for 50 pass attempts, because it's either Melvin Gordon fumbling or a bad offensive line, or they're just getting, you know, outclassed.
No receiver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not going to snow in San Diego. We're confident of that.
That's pretty good. We're definitely confident, at least in the weather report out there. So, yes, for sure. I quickly want to mention Sean Drone, too, as well. I like him as a cheaper option as well. So if you want to create some, like, GPP differentiation or looking for a flex play in that sort of cheaper-ish range, I think I have him targeted as one of the guys that I'll write up here for Pro Football Focus in my wide receiver running back punt plays, because he's been super consistent, and you like him for a guy like on DraftKings where you get that point per reception, really doing a lot of work out of the backfield for Blaine Gabbert. All right, wide receivers here, some big time options, and a lot of them in very good matchups. How do you separate who you're going to use for week 13?
Well, AJ Green is the cheapest kind of elite receiver in an elite matchup of the four or five that there are. So, it seems silly to not take advantage of that price discount when he has just as high of a ceiling as anybody else, I think. So, I'm using him an awful lot, but I think that Julio Jones, Alshon Jeffrey, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., all are going to be, they probably all won't come through. You know, there's always disappointment.
Somebody,
but they're all in, you know, they're all justifiable, even given their high prices this week.
Yeah, you know what? And then you have, you know, somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, who's supposed to be
Hopkins, too.
Yeah, Fitz has been like a top three wide receiver in like Pro Football Focus signature stat grades for basically the entire season and hasn't really got that price respect. He's still sitting at 7,400. It's like no matter what he does, he'll never make 8K. So I'll always be interested in him, especially with a guy like Carson Palmer. So there's that. I like Brandon Marshall there as well in this matchup. Danny Amendola, I know some people have concern about, but I mean, you're going to see high exposure to him for sure at 4,700, especially when he gets upgraded from questionable to probable, which I think could happen somewhere between now and Sunday. So, and then last guy I'll throw out there, I am going to go with my Jarvis Landry stack if I'm using Ryan Tannehill in GPPs. There's just so many targets coming his way. I believe 48 targets in the last three games or four games overall. It's just a huge number, and he's been super consistent and productive, especially in PPR scoring formats. All right.
Don't forget, I know you breezed by him earlier, but Devontae Parker had 10 targets last week, and Rishard Matthews doesn't look like he's going to play this week. So Parker's going to start, and if he gets 10 targets versus Baltimore, he's going to exceed value really easy. I think he's 3,200. So.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I sort of put him in the Devin Funchess category too, because remember Devin
Funchess? I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. As long as he's starting, the mistake that I made with Devin Funchess is that I didn't anticipate that Jericho Cotchery was going to come back in the lineup and be paired along with Ted Ginn. And so he was basically just back down to three wide receiver sets. I read the news and I didn't watch the game itself. And I thought, okay, they're finally going to, you know, promote him and activate him as a potential option. And they still kept him in three wide. And like, I think the number of snaps were way down. So it was definitely an ugly situation trying to play Devin Funchess coming off his best game. So, but you're telling me different situation with Devontae Parker, correct?
Yeah. Parker, I mean, they're talking about him starting, and I'm going to look up what he didn't do a ton with those 10 targets, but that's a lot of targets.
I think he hit the red zone.
Four for 80 and a touchdown. So he did. He did have a good fantasy day. But everything I'm seeing is it looks like Rishard Matthews is going to be out, and it will be Parker starting opposite Landry. So,
all right. That's a ton of value over there overall. So I think it's probably more GPP than cash game as a cash game option for me.
Okay.
But yes, such a bargain basement value. You probably need to take a look at taking some shares here and there. All right, tight end king of the hill time. Are you ready here?
I am.
All right, we're going to exclude the Thursday games, which is sad for Richard Rodgers, because he was gonna climb all the way up the mountain if we were gonna be results oriented. But we'll go ahead and start with Kobe Fleener, bare minimum price, 3K. I want to quickly mention that we do want to use price as a factor. Okay, since everybody else has to account for that, then we might as well account for it in DFS as well. So let's assume that Heath Miller plays. He's currently listed as questionable. I think he's actually listed as doubtful. So maybe let's not give people bad advice. I think I read a report that's saying he's probably going to miss. So we'll go with Kobe Fleener or Martellus Bennett, 3K for Fleener, 3,600 for Bennett on DraftKings.
Bennett.
Okay. I have concerns about Bennett because I think this is a good spot for him, given that Marcus Wilson is ruled out. But I heard rumors about him being in the doghouse with John Fox. So, and it looked like he got punished last week with maybe some game floor snaps where John Fox felt like he needed to sit himself on the bench for a little bit. So it should be an easy call for Martellus Bennett in my mind, but that's what creates a little bit of doubt for me. Having said that, I'm probably still going to give the edge to Martellus Bennett. Okay, Bennett or Scott Chandler?
Chandler.
Chandler at min price is going to be a tough beat this week. Yep. Chandler for 2,500 or Julius Thomas for 4K?
I knew that's where you're going to go next. I like Julius Thomas a lot this week. This is a game that's not going to feature a lot of defense at all. Thomas is finally kind of rounding into who we thought he would be. Touchdowns in the last two games, increase in targets. He didn't have a fantastic outcome the last time these two teams met, only 28 yards, but he did score. And that's what we've known him to do in his career. He's an end zone target, and he's a good one. So I have in tournament lineups, I think I'm probably going Julius Thomas and cash Scott Chandler.
Okay. So someone has to advance in King of the Hill. So overall, you got to pick.
Scott Chandler is just so boring. Like, he's been talked about and written about so much. I'm being biased against that. Like, I'm just over it. Okay. He's cheap. He's not going to be Rob Gronkowski. Okay. Nah, he's been Scott Chandler for a long time. He's been the number one tight end on other teams, and it's not Gronkowski-like.
Okay, so is that an endorsement in Julius Thomas in this match?
Yeah, that's Julius Thomas advancing.
Okay, fair enough. Julius Thomas or Jacob Tammy?
Thomas.
All right. Julius Thomas or Antonio Gates?
I guess I'll go Gates.
A little scary with that Denver defense, but the Denver defense has actually been underperforming. I saw Mike Clay tweet out a little note that said that they were like the 17th ranked defense or performance fantasy performing defense over the past month. So maybe not as scary as we should initially anticipate. But and I think the Gates did find the end zone last week as well. So yeah. I'm fine with that. Gates or Ben Watson?
I just wrote when I was writing up the highest scoring games for ESPN this morning, I wrote that I did like Breeze and Watson as a contrarian stack. You know, taking the underdog and the highest scoring game of the week is something I like to do. So, again, I feel like we're talking strictly about tournament options now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I do like Ben Watson. I think I'm sticking with Gates. But
okay. All right. I think that's fair. But you know what? I think it's close enough that you could see it flow either way. But having said that, I believe that Antonio Gates is the better red zone target overall. Gates or Travis Kelce?
I guess I'm going to stick with Gates because he could actually see 15 targets in a game and Kelsey's never going to see more than 6 to 8.
Yeah. So if Kelce doesn't get
into
the...
Just a sad fact.
Yeah, I don't know why that happens, but it's like if Kelce doesn't get into the end zone and there's a better than half a chance he's not, you know that just on target volume alone, you're behind if you're matching him up against Antonio Gates.
Yeah. I mean, you look at his game log, and he either has 16 points when he scores a touchdown or 8 points when he doesn't. It's like
not
it's
exciting.
Binary.
One of the probably the most overhyped projections all season long. Just everybody and their mom was like, Travis Kelce this year, season long, DFS, future Hall of Famer.
You know what? They're not wrong though. If they threw him the ball 12 times a game, he would be Rob Gronkowski.
The problem is
were not wrong.
He can't throw the ball to himself. You know what I mean? Blame Alex Smith. That's the problem. He's always just going to be held down by Alex Smith as quarterback. That's what it is. So I see him every week in the top five, and I'm like, well, just give me Julius Thomas or, you know, some of these other wide receivers that are cheaper rather than having to pay a top dollar or top five price for Travis Kelce and be disappointed half the time. Mm-hmm. So that sounds like Gates to me.
Yep, okay. That was Gates.
Gates or Gary Barnage?
Gates.
Gates for sure for me, because not because it's Gary Barnage isn't good, because he's great. It's just you have no idea what's going to happen with Austin Davis. Gates or Delanie Walker?
Delanie Walker.
All right, and then
I love Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker's great, and I feel like he's got a good connection with Marcus Mariota. And then Delanie Walker or Greg Olsen for 6,400.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You got to go with Olsen there. I mean, this is the Saints that we're talking about, and he's the top option. I mean, he's easily the top. I mean, he's the king of the hill.
Okay, I don't know how you can fade him personally, especially if you're able to do like we did and save some money with Danny Amendola, go all the way down to David Johnson. Especially if you're going to pair him with Cam and GPPs, you really need to take a hard look at Greg Olsen and see if he makes sense for your fantasy lineups, especially when you have Tyler Eifert down this week and Rob Gronkowski out of the mix here. So then that matchup against New Orleans, it just screams of eliteness, if that's a word. Let me ask you here before we quickly move on from the tight end position. Is it time for us to sort of get off the whole tight ends against Oakland narrative that was like so good for so long? Because that fits Travis Kelce, and that's probably why he has one of the better projections this week. But it hasn't really bared out. We saw Eric Ebron throw up a donut, and then the very next week, again, not what you sort of expected, given what's transpired through the first 10 weeks or so of the season. So where are we at with that?
I don't really get Eric Ebron hype. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, that just says Eric Ebron's not a good tight end, and there are bad tight ends in the league, but people love him. I don't really understand that. The reasoning behind that.
What I don't understand is why he was drafted like right after Brandon Pettigrew 2 years later. Like, are they trying to replicate the whole Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez scheme or something else like that? Because the way that the Patriots did that, they didn't burn first rounders on those guys. I think those guys were like back-to-back fourth rounders or something like that, or third rounders or something like that. So whatever they're doing, they're not using the Bill Belichick formula correctly. For one, and two, that offense isn't somebody like we saw Eric Ebron actually get 10 targets a couple of these games there before. But you have Calvin Johnson on your roster. Why are you? So I never really understood what the philosophy was with that whole tight end situation. They have a good second receiver in Golden Tate, a great pass catching running back out of in Theo Riddick. So what should you reasonably expect about out of Eric Ebron or that tight end position in general, especially with a middling quarterback like Matt Stafford who you can't completely trust? So I'm with you 110%. Never really buying the Eric Ebron or Brandon Pettigrew or who was my guy that we had to go down to the third tight end and I recommended him and then he burned me.
Jeff Cumberland, and then he got hurt.
No. He's a tight end for the Lions. The number three tight end when both of them were down. You remember this? He was.
I don't know. I shut it down though for sure. I never would have gotten behind that kind of play.
You weren't on the bandwagon. Out there, and then Scott Pianowski was like, "I'm the one behind all the what is his name type." Now I got to go look at a depth chart. He played for the Patriots last year, and he was a former Buck. Also, it's gonna kill me.
All right, you look it up. I'll just say that I still very much believe in using a tight end, a competent tight end against the Raiders. The reason, all the weeks that they've had, disappointments, and I think the worst one was probably Heath Miller. A tight end on the Steelers caught a touchdown in that game. It just wasn't Heath Miller, so we were all pissed about it. But they've given up a tight end. I mean, they gave up a tight end to Davis on the Jets. They gave up, to tight ends that have no business catching touchdowns are catching touchdowns against Oakland. So I think when you're in a situation where you have a clear-cut tight end who is competent and who's facing the Raiders, don't be scared off because, Eric Ebron didn't do anything against them.
All right, fair enough. Tim Wright.
Tim Wright.
Yes.
Yes, right. Yes. I definitely remember that, and I was like, do not use Tim Wright.
And then Tim Wright went and rubbed it in my face the next week with a touchdown after I like pumped him up. I was like, Tim Wright, some salary, think about it. And you're like, maybe you shouldn't think about it.
but do also note Kyle Rudolph, 19 targets in the past 2 weeks, and that's probably Seattle's only vulnerability. So another tight end that I'm throwing into some tournament lineups.
Okay, fair enough. And you know what? this sounds crazy, and this is going to be my Tim Wright part due special here, but Zach Miller, I love that the fact that whenever he's made a play, it's been a big play for a big touchdown. And if this whole Martellus Bennett in the doghouse thing is real, then that could be like here's the problem. This isn't a good play this week because there's so many great bargain options. But if we were like in a spot like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago where you had to pay up for all these guys because it was absolutely necessary, then this would have been like a genius play in a GPP. But not this week when you can just use Scott Chandler and David Johnson and Danny Amendola. I just want to put his name out in the universe because I won't use him. That means he'll be awesome. And then I can take like some sort of credit. Maybe somebody else will gamble with it, but I won't. But I just want to say that, you know, that's out there if this whole Martellus Bennett, John Fox drama situation as the world turns ends up coming to fruition. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up the show here with the defense position there. Carolina, New England, Denver up top. Who do you like out of that group? Do you like all three? And does anybody else make the list?
No, I like Arizona and New England at the top. I think Cincinnati's a good choice.
Yes.
The Austin Davis uh-huh. factor. And plus, Cincinnati is just kind of a confident defense. The cheap play I like a lot is the Redskins. I look at this, and it's a little bit unlike my usual style, but I think Washington's leading this division, and Dallas just lost Tony Romo again and has to mm-hmm. go back to Matt Castle. And I think like the mentality of these two teams probably couldn't be further apart right now. Washington's at home. The Cowboys just have to be so demoralized. If I was them, I would just be like, screw this season. I can't believe we even have to play 4 more weeks or whatever. And I think they could be forced into making some mistakes. Washington's defense actually isn't that terrible. I think they're one of the higher rated pass rushes, and you know, they've forced a bunch of fumbles. So they're my cheap play. They're 2,300. Again, like you're saying, there's plenty of value everywhere this week. If you're going low, it's them or the Redskins. Not the Redskins. I just said them. The Steelers. Pittsburgh at home too isn't a bad option against Indy, who leads the league in turnovers. So.
All right, and the last person I'm going to throw out there before we get out of here is I want to take a look at the Chicago defense for 2,600 against San Francisco. Blaine Gabbert has done nothing overall offensively in terms of putting their team in the end zone. They have never scored a ton. The Niners have done their part on defense, but they haven't really been a great option at all. However, in terms of, you know, scoring points against opposing teams. So, and I still think that Blaine Gabbert's actually been performing decently, but it's all game manager mode. Like, he's not throwing a ton of interceptions, but he's also not putting anybody in the end zone either. So that's my
I think their offense has actually been operating pretty efficiently with Drone and Gabbert back right. there.
They've been better. They did definitely get better. They don't look as terrible with Kaepernick, but they're also not, you know, you just don't see them putting in the run zone. They're doing a lot of work between the 20s, a lot of short screen passes and some nice plays. But they really haven't gotten sync in the red zone. So I'm okay with Chicago if you really want to take a shot, because that offense is just, you know, not anything to be scared of. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today's show. Before we go, Renee, what can we look forward to coming up for you article wise before we catch you next week?
Oh, we're recording so late in the week. All my writing is actually done. But I've got flex plays at ESPN Safe, high upside and good value options for your flex spot on DraftKings. I've got bargains and contrarian plays for FanDuel at RotoWorld under the Daily tab. And just today, I wrote about how I'm approaching the highest scoring games, the three highest scoring games on the schedule for this weekend, including who I'd use for cash games or tournaments and who I'm fading altogether. So all those are out, and my DraftKings optimal plays will be out on PFF later tonight or tomorrow morning.
All right, and I have my wide receiver and running back punt plays coming up for Pro Football Focus again for Saturday as well, so you can check that out. And I actually just did a Sports Illustrated guest spot on Michael Beller's Fantasy Football podcast yesterday that just got published or posted today, so you can also check that out over on Twitter at SI now. Thanks to Renee Miller for her expert insight and for joining me as always. Don't forget to follow her on Twitter at Renee Miller 01. You can always check out the PFF radio shows here on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blog Talk Radio, the official PFF YouTube channel, and the Fantasy Sports Network. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can check me out on Twitter at Josh Hayes FS, and we'll see you next time.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF underscore fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.